Few any longer take time to think. In this rushed and harried age, many no longer even know how. Yet God instructs His servants to think. He calls its greatest form meditation. Millions practice forms of meditation without really knowing how to do it. Some view meditation as a religious obligation but don't know why. Still others meditate to escape hectic day-to-day lives. Many Old and New Testament figures meditated, but what exactly were these men doing? Is meditation reaching a new plane of consciousness or enlightenment? Is it higher daydreaming? Is it emptying your mind? Or sitting Indian-style pondering philosophy? Are these, any of them, what God calls meditation? What does the Bible say? And does meditation carry any proven scientific benefits? As with prayer, Bible study, and fasting, those striving to obey God must be taught how to meditate. This broadcast reveals both how and why.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age, full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
We live in the age of what could be called the great time robbery. People no longer think they have the time they once had to ponder issues and events coming at them. In 1970, a book appeared titled Future Shock. It explained that the speed of life and of change was accelerating so fast it was inducing a shock effect upon people, that the speed of change and the future was coming at people faster than could be digested. Civilization was entering a kind of toxic condition. Great numbers read the book, but no one knew what to do about it. That was 45 years ago. What about today? The prophet Daniel foretold this: many will run to and fro at the end, and knowledge will be increased. Society greatly sped up when it entered the information age. Knowledge is now almost daily increasing by leaps and bounds. Keeping up creates a frantic life. The rat race of work, television, computers, cell phones, and pleasure seeking has impacted the ability to find peace and quiet. People no longer have time to think. Imagine being a farmer a century ago, walking behind horses plowing fields. You could think without much distraction. 100 years ago, no one spent 1 second in front of a television, computer, movie, or smartphone screen. Teenagers didn't constantly text each other and with nothing constructive to say. People once read and thought a lot more. What are called period letters, those written about 150 years ago, demonstrate this. I've read what Civil War privates wrote their wives from the battlefield. Sometimes barely educated, their eloquence rivals today's top speechwriters. Their use of grammar and vocabulary greatly exceeded today's standards. People took time to mentally digest, think about, and analyze things. No longer. God foresaw our modern time, which the Bible calls the last days. This is one reason He inspired the ancient King David to write so much about the need to meditate. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. Meditation is a key to proper Bible study. Without it, alongside prayer, fasting, and exercising God's Spirit, it's impossible to understand God's will. God talks to Christians through His Word, the Bible. When our ways please Him, He gives us understanding by opening our eyes to His truth. Without thinking on, mulling over things concerning God's way, Christians can't properly use understanding they receive. First, how much does God want you to meditate? Psalm 119 declares, "Oh, how love I your law, it is my meditation all the day." David added, "The righteous man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." How did God view David? "I have found David, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Sadly, millions today cannot control their thoughts. A study once concluded that anyone who can concentrate on one thing for 3 minutes without his mind wandering is a genius. Meditation is not just letting your mind roll. It's been said only a fool prays about things as they come to mind. Meditation is no different. It is not daydreaming. It is conscious thought control on a biblical topic. This can't happen if meditation has no structure, no goals or list to work from. Start with a basic framework. If you are Spirit-led, truly converted, the Holy Spirit will lead you. God will guide your thoughts. Many approach life, whether prayer or what they think about, like channel surfing. Three Old Testament Hebrew words, meditate, consider, and muse, can all be translated to ponder, imagine, meditate, converse with oneself, declare to oneself, to separate or distinguish mentally. Notice, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies," or "I will separate them one from another." Meditation is not just a collection of differing thoughts, but rather separating them and distinguishing mentally one from another. Proverbs says, "The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." Study also means ponder or meditate. In the New Testament, meditate means to be of interest, concern, to take care of, revolve in the mind. You've probably been told, roll it over in your mind. People roll things across their tongue, but God says to roll, to revolve them in the mind. The formal definition of meditate is think or reflect, especially in a calm and deliberate manner. Plan in the mind, intend. Keep the mind in a state of contemplation. Dwell on anything in thought. Think seriously, muse, reflect, contemplate. To purpose, intend, design, plan by revolving in the mind, consider, ponder, weigh, revolve, and study. This is comprehensive. What do you think about on a regular basis? How many times have you caught yourself thinking something you should not? What if the person beside you could hear your thoughts? It might be very embarrassing. Jesus taught, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." People know our thoughts by what we say and do. Proverbs adds, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And Jesus said, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Even though people cannot read our minds, we cannot hide our thoughts from God. Just before his death, David instructed his son, "Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Christians receive their strength, guidance, and salvation from God. David knew this. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And he wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If God is evaluating your thoughts, shouldn't you be carefully doing the same? Without the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person, helping him meditate on God's word, he cannot begin to understand the way God thinks or why God does what he does. God promises to give his Spirit to those he calls to repentance and baptism. He only gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Upon conversion, each baptized member of the true church receives the same Spirit the Creator God uses to sustain and maintain the universe. The natural mind is hostile toward God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, Paul wrote, neither indeed can be. This includes you. This is why God warns to forsake our own way, the way that leads to death. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Christian must develop a new mind, a different attitude, to think like God. The only way to do this is with the help of his Spirit. Without that new mind, the heart will naturally pursue its own thoughts and interests. The Apostle Paul instructs, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we, meaning apostles, have the mind of Christ. Many health benefits come from meditation. A powerful Forbes magazine article showed scientists have recently discovered the benefits of meditation, benefits God promised thousands of years ago in his word. The meditation in the brain research has been rolling in steadily for a number of years now, with new studies coming out just about every week to illustrate some new benefit of meditation, or rather, some ancient benefit that is just now being confirmed with fMRI or EEG. The practice appears to have an amazing variety of neurological benefits, from changes in gray matter volume to reduced activity in the me centers of the brain to enhanced connectivity between brain regions. Below are some of the most exciting studies to come out in the last few years and show that meditation really does produce measurable changes in our most important organ. Skeptics, of course, may ask, what good are a few brain changes if the psychological effects aren't simultaneously being illustrated? Luckily, there's good evidence for those as well, with studies reporting that meditation helps relieve our subjective levels of anxiety and depression and improve attention, concentration, and overall psychological well-being. Under the subhead, meditation may lead to volume changes in key areas of the brain, it adds, in 2011, Sarah Lazar and her team at Harvard found that mindfulness meditation can actually change the structure of the brain. 8 weeks of mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, was found to increase cortical thickness in the hippocampus, which governs learning and memory, and in certain areas of the brain that play roles in emotion regulation and self-referential processing. There were also decreases in brain cell volume in the amygdala, which is responsible for fear, anxiety, and stress. Under another subhead, meditation can help with addiction, it continued. A growing number of studies has shown that given its effects on the self-control regions of the brain, meditation can be very effective in helping people recover from various types of addiction. One study, for example, pitted mindfulness training against the American Lung Association's Freedom from Smoking program and found that people who learned mindfulness were many times more likely to have quit smoking by the end of the training and at 17 weeks follow-up than those in the conventional treatment. Scientists are now researching how meditation can help the suicidal or those struggling with drugs. One researcher found that by meditating, you can become happier, you can concentrate more effectively, and change your brain in ways that support that. In a related study, Dr. James Anderson said meditation has been linked to lower blood pressure, reduced risk of heart disease, stroke, congestive heart failure, and kidney failure. Those who practice meditation may also be able to avoid the possible side effects of using antihypertension drugs. Studies have shown that when people meditate for even brief periods during the day, for whatever reason, their stress level decreases. Every variation of meditation acknowledges the need to focus on one subject or object. Notice how meditation helps with concentration. Having problems concentrating isn't just a kid thing. It affects millions of grown-ups. Interestingly, but not surprisingly, one of the central benefits of meditation is that it improves attention and concentration. One recent study found that just a couple of weeks of meditation training helped people's focus and memory during the verbal reasoning section of a test. In fact, the increase in score was equivalent to 16 percentile points, which is nothing to sneeze at. Why does God want Christians to meditate on His Word? He wants His people to prosper and be successful. The only way is to follow His direction. His Word shows that several other good things happen when we meditate on God's way. Meditation brings prosperity and success. God told Joshua, Moses' successor, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Now recall, the righteous man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Meditation brings hope. "Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and gall, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope and wisdom and understanding. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." And gladness, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." And strength, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but your servant did meditate in your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." And perseverance and endurance, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself," speaking of Jesus Christ, "lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Meditation can prevent backsliding. If they, the patriarchs, had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Most important, proper meditation leads to eternal life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What do you think about? What is your mind on? To effectively meditate, get away from everyday life. Society is designed to distract you with sports, music, television, computers, smartphones, doorbells, people in the house, the dog, neighbors, their dog, loud cars. The list is endless. Find a quiet place, maybe on your bed. Notice, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, also stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." If this is not possible in your home, go to the local park or a secluded place. Take a walk. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Have you ever awakened at night only to toss and turn, unable to get back to sleep? Accept this and use the time to dwell on God. Look at this. "I have remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept your law. And my eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in your word." When to meditate depends on your schedule. If you cannot find the time, modify your schedule. Make time. Studies have shown that people have more free time than they realize. In fact, more than ever, reflecting on God and His way is not something to take lightly. Being a Christian is serious. Christianity is a way of life, not just one among many of life's pursuits, as so many professing Christians seem to think. Moses wrote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Meditation is a tool to use when fasting. One good approach during fasting is spend an hour praying, then an hour studying, then an hour meditating, reflecting on things studied and learned. You can repeat the cycle until the fast ends. Most seem unaware that Paul instructs the one who has truly surrendered to God, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Everyone must do this. What should we meditate on? In 1643, Galileo observed within physical science that nature abhors a vacuum. This applies to the mind. You can't simply empty it without replacing what was there. Fill your mind with right thoughts while putting out wrong ones. Jesus illustrated the principle. When the unclean spirit, meaning a demon, is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he, the demon, says, I will return into my house, a person's mind, from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Meditate on instruction received. With most, it flows in one ear and out the other. Take time to hear and keep instruction. Now this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on being grateful for answered prayer. Sometimes people expect dramatic answers. They don't recognize their prayers may have been answered, but God's way. Look closely to see how your prayers may have been answered. Review and analyze each day's events. Draw conclusions about what God expects and apply His law. Then review them. Notice, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. Meditate on Bible accounts so characters in them become real. Hollywood depicts God's servants as odd, long-haired old men. Without meditation, wrong Hollywood images stick in the mind, as surely as the long-haired Jesus most learned about in Sunday school. To learn about the real Christ of the Bible, read this full book, The True Jesus Christ, Unknown to Christianity. You've never read anything like it. Study the lives of Bible figures. This will teach you. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Think of the many lessons that can be learned from their lives. Let's notice. All these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. They still have meaning for us today. David was heartfelt and powerfully inspired. Let's read. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? These are things David was thinking about. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord, the good times of the past. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your doings. There are occasions to not meditate. Jesus told his servants alive just before his return, "They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Meditate here means premeditate. God does not want you preparing answers in advance because you will say what you want rather than what God does. Finally, meditate on the crucial matters of life. Don't waste time with petty issues. Think on the purpose of human existence and how to fulfill it. Meditate on God's laws, on what eternal life means. Most people live their entire lives with no clue why they are here. They drift aimlessly, unconcerned about the answers to life's greatest questions. Why life? Why death? And why everything in between? Others enjoy debating life's meaning but never arrive at correct answers, concluding man is a product of evolution. Dumb luck. Think hard about why you were born, whether your existence is tied to a divine plan. Mankind was placed on earth by an all-wise creator as part of a great purpose, a master plan. Knowing it is of supreme importance, think, what could be more important to understand than the purpose for your life? Divinely revealed answers come from God. Philosophers cannot discern them through discussion or even meditation. Educators cannot teach what they were never taught. Those merely teaching from books by other men cannot teach what those books do not contain. Theologians offer humanly devised counterfeits. All religions profess to hold the answers to life's questions, but their ideas pale as cheap substitutes, empty counterfeits, when the awesome truth of God's plan is fully understood. You can know the answers to life's greatest questions. Our free book, The Awesome Potential of Man, will tell you. Request it, and you will be glad you did. Now, allow proper, godly meditation to change your life. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order the literature featured in this program, write to the Restored Church of God, 1000 Ambassador Drive, Wadsworth, Ohio, 44281, or call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.